Kristen is a postdoctoral fellow at UCSD's Moores Cancer Center working with the Health Media Collaborative. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm here today to talk to you a little bit about our research from the Health Media Collaboratory, or the HMC. And this research is specifically focused on transgendered people's tobacco use in a national sample of adults. I have no financial disclosures. And this work is supported by funds from the Tobacco-Related Disease Research Program, as well as the National Cancer Institute. So first, I'd like to give you a little bit of context. What is the problem of tobacco use among transgender populations? So while there's been strong evidence that tobacco-related health disparities exist among LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender populations, this has largely been assessed as a single population. Rates range, they vary widely because of a lack of inclusion in national surveys until just recently, ranging from about 20 to 80% depending on the population assessed. Compared to 17.8% for non-LGBT or the population average in the United States. So you can see there's a huge range of potential disparity here for tobacco use, specifically current cigarette smoking. However, we know that assessing LGBT as a single group is not sufficient. There's strong evidence currently for health disparities for tobacco use among lesbian, gay, and bisexual populations. However, the data for transgender populations is much more limited. So it's just really not enough. We need to do different analyses by LGBT populations and not just lump everybody together in one group. So what has been done indicates that transgender populations appear to be to use tobacco at an elevated rate, similar to that of their LGBT counterparts. So current cigarette use is estimated about 30%, again, compared to that 17.8% in the general U.S. population. And there's been a lack of data for other tobacco product use. So why do these disparities appear to exist? There are a lot of reasons, really, and kind of the first is that the tobacco industry has done a really stellar job in marketing to LGBT populations. They were actually among the first industries to specifically target LGBT as a viable population. So this is by design. This disparity is by design from the tobacco industry. Conversely, in public health and tobacco control, we've kind of just recently started getting, coming to the plate and stepping up and including LGBT in national surveys, as well as population level surveys at the state level. So we're starting to get there. We're starting to address this issue. And as a result, you might imagine that this has impacted community norms. Further, there are a lot of reasons to use tobacco. Tobacco is commonly cited, or use of tobacco is commonly cited as a coping mechanism, and with sexual minority and transgender populations, there's often a lot of stigma or discrimination that populations experience, and this can contribute to using smoking as a coping mechanism. And this may be compounded when you're a member of a multiple minority group, so maybe being transgender as well as or transgender of color. Smoking has been cited as a way to bond, really. And meet new people. Can I bum a cigarette is often, at a bar or a club. So there's a social aspect to smoking that can increase, particularly with populations that are looking to meet, new friends and expand their network. Tobacco has also been marketed as being a rebellious behavior, and so that's really appealing often to young populations. And then finally, I'd really like to point out that oftentimes, when you're dealing with bigger issues, tobacco may not be high on the list of things that populations may want to address, because that's something that's not as important as the immediate concerns going on right now. So there are a lot of reasons transgender people may be at increased risk for tobacco use. And so based upon this, we wanted to test this hypothesis. What does transgender tobacco use look like in a national representative sample? So in doing so, we have the Tobacco and the Changing Media Environment, which is our group's national survey, conducted between February and March of 2013. The sample was oversampled for tobacco users, and recruitment was based off JFK, formerly Knowledge Network. 75% of the sample was recruited using their knowledge panel, and 25% were recruited from an off-panel sample. We have 168 transgender participants and over 17,000 non-transgender participants. And I'd like to point out that this is a completely, we did not use any targeted strategies to recruit transgender populations. So this is really a representative national sample of transgender people. Our outcomes include past or current 30-day tobacco use of cigarettes, e-cigarettes, and cigars, including small, medium, and large cigars, and every use of hookah or dissolvables. All analyses were performed using SAS version 9.4, and we present raw numbers and weighted percents. So what did we find? So as far as our population characteristics, transgender participants were significantly more likely to report being lesbian or bisexual, a race or ethnicity other than white, as well as older age. Despite that, the other characteristics were really similar across transgender and non-transgender populations. So here we go to the actual tobacco use. These are weighted results, but they're unadjusted. So as you can see, across tobacco products, current use of tobacco products, transgender populations were, our transgender sample was significantly used tobacco at significantly higher rates. 40% is huge for any tobacco, and 36% is kind of in line with what's been previously found, but even higher. Similarly, when we look at ever use of kind of more novel tobacco products, such as hookah and dissolvables, transgender tobacco use was significantly higher than our non-transgender sample, particularly for dissolvables. It's a pretty huge difference. And all of these were significant at the 0.05 level or greater. So that's pretty strong evidence, but we also ran a fully adjusted model, adjusting for gender, sexual identity, age, race or ethnicity, household income, and education. And as you can see, across tobacco products, current use was significantly, transgender populations were significantly increased odds of using each tobacco product. And so it's pretty strong, particularly for these novel products like e-cigarettes, which are being heavily marketed right now. We also stratified analysis by gender, and the analyses were significant for male participants for any current tobacco use as well as current cigarette smoking. So it's really strong evidence that particularly transgender males are at increased risk to use cigarettes. So taken together, these findings indicate that transgender populations appear to use tobacco at extremely high rates compared to our non-transgender sample. Further, this really does indicate that assessing LGBT as a single population is insufficient to adequately address the problem of tobacco-related health disparities for across populations, whether it be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. There is a need for additional research to confirm these findings. Ideally, larger representative samples would be preferred, and we may need to use new or targeted strategies to really boost our sample sizes too, so we can look into further stratifying across transgender populations by race and ethnicity and kind of look for other differences as well. With a sample size of 168, which I think is great, it's still, it's not enough to really divvy up the sample much further. So I do have a few recommendations, and the first is assess. It's really important that we include transgender populations, that lesbian, gay, bisexual populations, and any other priority population in our research. To quote my friend Francisco Bushting, if we are not counted, we don't exist. And so it's really important that we're included in these national surveys. Further, I'd like to make just a few recommendations that at minimum, surveys should include questions on sexual orientation, a second question on gender identity, transgender identity, as well as sex assigned at birth and preferred gender and gender identity. A lot of national surveys don't include even separate questions for gender identity and sexual orientation. So it's really important to at minimum kind of assess these things. There's a need for more research that will hopefully inform interventions, and once we do these interventions, we need to assess and make sure that they're doing what we set out to do. So I'd like to acknowledge all of our 2CME participants, as well as the entire Health Media Collaboratory team, in particular, Yoon-Sung Kim, our statistician who's in the audience. My contact information's up here. Feel free to contact me at any time. Thank you.